Cordially, Finn J.D. John, Principal Creative, Popelet Productions, Corvallis, Oregon, USA. P.S. For the audiobook edition, you probably are saying to yourself, hey, wait a minute, this thing has more than 150 chapters in it. How do I know which story is which? Well, we've got you covered. Just head for pulp-lit.com/360 and you'll find a directory there in both mobile-friendly HTML and downloadable printable PDF formats. I know some of you also want to skip straight to the stories. We've rearranged the chapters in this book to help you do that. Now all the annotations are in their own separate file, so all you have to do is skip to the next track and the story will start. Speaking of which, if you're wanting to do that right now, the first actual Lovecraft story starts with track 6. But before you do that, one more thing, the refund policy. We've released this single volume edition as an Audible exclusive, and I've already told you some of the reasons we decided to do that. Really, nobody else we know of can manage an audiobook and an ebook like a live document. But another advantage is, I can make specific promises to you based on what I know to be true about our distribution partners at Audible. For instance, if you don't like this book, Audible will give you your money or credit back with absolutely no hassles, no matter how much of it you've listened to or how long you've had it. You'll sometimes hear narrators gripe about that policy. Me? Never. If you hate my voice and my conception of Lovecraft, I don't want to be adding injury to insult by keeping your money. Seriously, all of us hardcore Lovecraft fans have a pretty firm idea of what his work means, what it sounds like, how it should be read, and most importantly, how to pronounce Nyarlathotep and Dagon. Yes, I know, I'm in the minority on that last one, but Dagon? Seriously? I can't do it. Anyway, you see the problem here. Your vision may be radically different from mine, and if it is, it will be very hard to listen to me read Lovecraft to you. It may even make you angry. Tomato, tomato, and all that, right? Yeah, right. Get your money back. I'd much rather have your good opinion of me and my company than cram a sale down your throat. If, on the other hand, you love it, well, then we've earned the sale, and that's how we like to do things. Okay, you get the idea. Now, let's get started. Foreword. Howard Phillips Lovecraft was born on August 10, 1890, a product of the late Victorian era. In many ways, he remained a late Victorian man until his death in 1937. Along the way, he produced a body of weird fiction work that, sparse though it is, has had a tremendous influence on 20th and 21st century literature. That body of work is contained in this omnibus edition, now collected for the first time into a single volume. All of Lovecraft's prose fiction output published between 1917, when he first turned from the witty but opaque nonfiction and turgid Georgian poetry that he then favored, until his death from cancer in 1937. Unlike most other collections, it includes his ghostwritten works, as well as a few key pieces of poetry, as well as the full text of his seminal and transformative master's thesis, Supernatural Horror and Literature. It's important to note that, with one or two exceptions, this collection includes only Lovecraft's prose fiction. It is not everything Lovecraft wrote, not even close. It excludes most of his juvenilia, his philosophical ruminations and scientific observations, his nonfiction writings, most of his poetry, and of course his letters. Taken together, these other works dwarf the weird fiction writings contained in this volume. His letters alone total many times more than anything else he ever wrote put together. Estimates of his total production range from 30,000 to 100,000 letters sent to family members, friends, and fellow writers. Nor were these letters light reading. When courting his wife, Sonia Green, he regularly sent her letters in the 40 to 50 page range. Later in life, when his circumstances were really straitened, he actually skipped meals to finance the postage on these colossal missives. What follows now is a brief biography of our author. It is by no means intended to replace a real, detailed biography, but rather to help fit his stories together into a coherent canon and to aid the reader in getting familiar with the sequence, circumstances, and context of each of Lovecraft's works as they are presented herein. You will also find a detailed timeline of Lovecraft's life in the appendix at the very end of this volume. Biographical information is helpful when reading any author's work, but it's especially important with Lovecraft. This is for two reasons. First, because Lovecraft was a true autodidact who never stopped learning and reading and traveling in search of new ideas and better stories. His early work is noticeably different from, and most scholars agree technically inferior to, his later work.